Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I bring forward people who are really at the cutting edge of consciousness and planetary evolution and change, and seeing what's happening in the environment, how we are moving towards that change. Tonight's guest is someone I've wanted to talk to for a long time. He's a well-known researcher in the field of crop circles, and he's coming back into public awareness. This weekend, he'll be speaking at the FIONS 20th anniversary presentation. That's in New York City at 230 West 29th Street at 2:30. Tonight's guest is Colin Andrews. Colin, are you there?
Hi, I'm Alan. Good evening.
It's been a while since you've been out in the public. Was there a certain reason why you sort of, you were really the premier crop circle researcher for I'd say 10, 15 years, and then you disappeared? I know some things happened that you talked about. Do you want to go into it and why you're coming back out now at this time?
Yes, there are a number of reasons, but I think to start really with why I kind of stepped back somewhat, that was 4 years ago. My last presentation was at the Bay Area UFO Expo down there in San Francisco, and since that time I've basically been pulling some more energy back in. Researching now this particular mystery for 26 years, and traveling a lot and all the rest of it kind of soaked up my energy. But so I thought I basically had finished, but I have to say that in the world, which is changing at such a rate, keeping a very, I was never disconnected from the actual research. It was that I was disconnected publicly from presentations. I began to feel that I really did have some more to say, that it was time to come back out. And this opportunity came this weekend and now being followed by others in rapid succession. So FIONS this weekend will be it's kind of a reboot, a resetting of the research effort as far as I am concerned. It's very definitely finished up in the arena of consciousness. That's where it all is.
Right. I mean, you're also the following week when you will be at the Exopolitics conference in Washington, which a lot of people are excited about. But do you want to go into, like, there was an article about you being threatened by some people and telling you to be quiet. Is there truth to that? Or, I mean, are people really paying attention to the crop circle phenomenon in that way on government levels?
There have been one or two problems, but the one that I think you're referring to, which is really fairly recent, and it's not as if it's going away. I'm just going to have to deal with this. And what it amounts to, Alan, is that the following week, that's the week after this weekend in Washington, I'm going to be very much addressing the British government's release of secret documents on the UFO. And I have already, I was very deeply involved with a lot of the UFO research, working with government officials and setting up at the early stages of the, some of the work that's been done here too. And in looking at the record, the history, which has been basically manipulated, readjusted, and then lied about in Great Britain, Nick Pope, as you might know, is really the spokesman for the official UFO research over there at a government level. I have taken tremendous umbrage at the inaccuracy of the reports that have come out of there. In other words, what I'm really saying is that I know more than has been released, and it's I have started on my website to put this together. And as soon as I put this the historic facts out there with literature documents to support it, I received a telephone call from a high level in Great Britain instructing me to remove one of those documents that came from a very high level in the British government, a person who was known to everybody, and to remove it immediately with a threat of legal action. That document I did also intend to be part of my presentation in New York this coming weekend, and the same situation exists there, that if I show it, then I am at some risk of some very serious ramifications. And so, you know, that's going on behind the scenes, which is a total nonsense when we really have, I think most of the public now are absolutely fed up with the manipulation, the distortions, the spin, the inaccuracies from wherever it comes. And I feel very strongly about it, that now is the time to speak our truth. We are setting a new stage for a new time, and it better be that. You know, we have no more time to fool around with these individuals. And so that's my position. And it's going to be an exciting 24 days, I think.
Right. Are you going to present that information in New York? Can we look forward to that?
I'm going to be presenting very close to the knuckle. I cannot, I could, Alan, but I could put the document back up on the internet. It was on the internet and had to be removed. And so I will be talking around it, and I will give you the substance of why they are extremely concerned about this particular document. So anyway, that's really, maybe we'll cover some of that in this conversation.
Yes. You know, I mean, I understand why you're angry about it, and I understand that it is the time for this information to come forward. But is it because of the intensity of the contacts? I mean, the 2008 season, I was there in Wiltshire. It was the most intense thing I've ever experienced, being in those circles and seeing the complexity of the formation. Why do you think this is such a vital time?
Well, I think what it is I think for some while a number of departments and individuals that are well equipped to look at multiple phenomena, that is the UFO, crop circles, animal mutilations, remote viewing, all of these kind of, you might say fringe, we can call it what we like, but they're unexplained, they are inexplicable in scientific terms. Somebody has twigged that there is a very common thread that runs through them, and what I will be talking about in New York, which pertains very much to this government excitement in Great Britain about, you know, this particular document, is that what I've been stating and now I'm going to show is that there is interaction between the crop circle makers, that is, the source of the phenomena, is interacting not only with the public, with the researchers, and with the people making them. Sky Television in Great Britain, via satellite 3 days ago, put out the very first documentary surrounding, and this would not have been done a year ago, surrounding their subject matter was the people that were making crop circles. Well, that's all been done before, but what was different about it this time was that they were talking in detail about the fact that these people that are making some of these circles, have themselves and are constantly themselves witnessing very extraordinary interactive phenomena. I've had this myself. I've had it myself. My family have had it. It is very bizarre, but the thing is, we really do have to tackle this now, because what we are looking at is, I believe, is some kind of breakthrough between dimensionality. The source of the circle manifestation is absolutely totally aware of its surroundings, of the thought process of the people that are there. And so I'm going to be going through this case by case with the support of evidence, the sounds that have been heard, the phenomena that has been seen and witnessed by the media, as well as people making them and researchers. And the fact that I had a person at the very highest levels of the British government, a document from that person to a friend of mine who also sits in the British government, extremely interested and referring to events that I witnessed. I was at Chesford Head in 1989 when the most amazing things occurred in that field. And that is what I'm going to be talking about, minus that one document, this weekend, as well as other interactive phenomena, which is what the crop circus is all about. You know, we've missed it, Alan. I think a lot of people have been asking the wrong question now for 20, including me, for half of my research time. The question that's been asked, and this is why the media have gone to sleep on the job here, is are they real or are they hoaxed? It's the wrong question. I think that's really where we've gone wrong. I think the question is, what are these strange things that are happening inside of them? Whether they're put there by people, and many of them are, you know, we can talk about that maybe separately. It's what's going on around the fringes here, because this is the most extraordinary social experiment. It could have been a deliberate planned experiment, a social experiment. It may well have been triggered or manifested in error by people that made circles in the early 80s. But now we've got something on our hands, and that is why I was instructed to remove the document. I think I've lost you, Alan.
Talking to Colin Andrews, and I'm sorry we were interrupted. Colin, you were talking about the people you're saying who are making the circles. So you're saying there are man-made circles, that they're not just higher intelligence. Is that what you were saying?
Well, that is what I was saying, yes. I'm not quite sure where we were disconnected, but what I was basically saying is that there, of course, are circles that are made by people, and there are those that we cannot explain, but that both the group that are made by people and are still unexplained, that both of those groups experience within the confines of those designs interactive phenomena. And that really is, I think, the piece that, well, I've been working on it now probably the last 10 years, but of the last 26 years, that's where my attention has been drawn, because that's where the evidence points, you know.
Interaction, though, are you saying? What kind of interactive phenomena?
Well, there are many. There are many. I mean, I'll be going through these the weekend in detail with all of the relevant information and photographs, but let me just give you a couple. This was back in, I believe, 95, 96. A team of researchers working with me who were sending plant samples back to a biophysicist, a biologist here in this country, decided on their own accord, to blind test the process. So without telling me until the day that they had already made a simple design that was two circles connected by a looping pathway in an area which had never seen crop circles before in central southern England. They put this design in the field. They sent plants off for analysis, knowing, of course, they had made it. Well, I flew an aircraft when I first got to know about this. They said, well, you know, we thought we should tell you, because you're likely to be getting some calls. We didn't want you to be sucked in and, you know, in front of some television camera or something. So I got an aircraft and we went up to log the entire thing as it was in the field and the plant analysis to see how that came back, only to find that within hours of them making it, there were two new circular areas the same size of those that they had put in the field, but not swirled to the ground at all, where the green chlorophyll had been removed from the plants 20 feet across in each case, forming an equilateral triangle with the design that they had made. Well, it simply could not have been a man-made situation, that the additions to their particular input. And then also to find, as we flew the aircraft, I suppose about another half a mile or so to the east, a very complex design had appeared in the field next to them. So, you know, there is this constant, you know, one tends to drop it away because there's only so much of this you seem to be able to take. It's like, well, you know, I don't believe it. Well, there it is. You know,
I know what you mean. I was there on August 8th, and everyone was waiting for a circle, and the planet was singing 888. And there we have this huge 8 formation, this Möbius strip 8. And I think that was an interactive. Everyone was thinking 8. The planet was thinking 888. And they give us an 8, but they give us something more than an 8. They're kind of adding to our knowledge by that kind of response. I mean, that was something. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, I would. I would say, Alan, that I always put a little bit of a caveat, in so much as you were there, I think, for the first time this year, and it's the first time I haven't been there. I've got all of the data, but I was not in England this year for the first time in 26 years. So I didn't actually attend that. But yes, I would. I mean, that I hear this all the time, and I've been involved with them, things like that. I mean, there's another one on the screen in front of me now as I'm speaking to you. This is, I'll give it to you as I'm looking at it. This is a Tai Chi instructor in England who, with his brother, had drawn a flower of life design, intending to make it. They were experimenting too on a vast scale. They didn't make it that particular night. His brother was ill, intending to help him make this thing. And in the Barbary Castle field, where there has been a very famous one or two designs, actually, and only to find the next morning that whilst they hadn't made it, there was a flower of life design in that field. They're 350 feet across. It identical to the design, which I've got here and I'll be showing in New York, to the design he had drawn. He didn't make it. His brother didn't make it. And I've had experiences personally like that, Alan, where, you know, it pushes the envelope. I mean, I think there's always a danger when we're telling these stories, these true stories. There is a shut-off point where people just feel, well, you know, that I'm dizzy with this, you know, I just can't, I don't think I'm prepared to kind of listen to any more of this. But this is what's happening.
Well, you might, Barry, and the whole reason I do this show called New Realities is to expose people to possibilities. And standing in that eighth formation, it was impossible for someone on the ground to make something like that, like, you know, 100 yards in length in the middle of the night. And people did see flashes in that field. But how much percentage is man-made, would you say, generally per season in Wiltshire as opposed to unknown?
Yeah, well, this might come as a little bit of a shock. It has caused me to make enemies, that's for sure, because of the outcome of an investigation that it was a specific research investigation that I did when funded by Lawrence Rockefeller back a few years ago under the, you know, the Rockefeller Initiative. And during that two-year period, we had undercover people looking at anything and everything that was reported in England for a period of 2 years. And the outcome of all of the work, aerial surveillance, ground surveillance, analysis, magnetometers, plant analysis, the whole thing, throwing everything at it, we were able to, or I was able to, I was the spokesman for that particular research, was able to ascertain that 20% of everything that appeared in a two-year period there in England, we could not explain. We could not begin to explain. But it did leave a figure that...
80% you could explain.
We could, and with very strong... Much of it was on film. Low-light cameras were...
Which years were those? Because I'm just
that
curious.
Was 19. Yeah, no, that was no. It's okay. I mean, all of this has been documented, and you know, I can show you this at any time. But these were the years of 1999 and the year 2000. I did a live BBC broadcast that to actually go through those details at the time.
Because, you know, each year they seem to get exponentially more complex. In the 2006 season, we had all those wormhole-type things and those three-dimensional things like Manhattan Towers. And, of course, this year it was the Pi Formation. Could you go and tell this one was man-made? I mean, there's some beautiful ones.
I know. It's not that easy. You see, we were set up and prepared for a two-year research project, and therefore we were ready to roll when the year came. I mean, in retrospect, if nobody enters the field, well, yes, there is a very good chance when you look at the ground detail that you could come up feeling relatively sure whether it was man-made or not. But it's absolutely impossible if you're not geared up to react and respond ground and air quickly that you could come to a confident conclusion. Mm. Because as you know, and I'm sure you saw it for yourself there are many, many people saturating that area that are traveling from different parts of the world see these circles.
There was a busload of French tourists that just piled into the field after that 888. And, of course, there was also a British helicopter. I was there pretty early in the morning because we're all camped out on the hilltops waiting for something because people were anticipating. Haimi Musan was there and a bunch of major researchers. We were all anticipating something on the 888 and because there was something on 777 the year before. And so no one saw anything, but in the morning there was that formation, and then early in the morning a big English Army helicopter flew really low over the field, checking it out for themselves. So it's quite intimidating in some ways to see something like that, because like they don't know what's going on. So if we look at that 20% number, even if it's 1%. What is this? Who are these beings? Of course, everyone asks you that. And what is it they're trying to do with us in this level of conscious interaction that you referred to before?
I think it's inching consciousness itself. I don't, my own view, and, you know, intelligence agencies have looked at this. I mean, the CIA, when they did a group remote viewing, project, I was given feedback, and they told me that they had a very good result in so much as each of the remote viewers got something, and they concluded that these were like signposts. This was information being conveyed from one species to another and had nothing to do effectively with us. That was a remote viewing project, you know, carried out by the intelligence agencies here. But my own view, and again, I will have time to piece this together, you know, the weekend, is that there is an ongoing evolution and complexity which is engaged, it has now engaged us for a quarter of a century, and is actually, it's reached now a point where, first of all, we are now beginning to accept across the board, that is, those that are skeptical, those that are making them, those that are researching them, there is now a consensus coming about that there's something that's reading and feeding and knowing our thoughts. And so therefore, if that is the case, we could say being nudged along the evolutionary, the spiritual evolutionary consciousness highway. I think to myself that's what it is.
Yeah. Did you say they were earth energy as opposed to extraterrestrial energies? Is that what your feeling was?
Well, I really don't have a strong, I guess I would say that I'm more inclined to think that it's extraterrestrial, because what we are unable to see and perceive within the confines of the planet, another intelligence other than our own. But you know, I don't know that we really can go confidently too far in that direction either, because, you know, it is conceivable, you know, that there are other dimensional beings that we, of course, simply are unable to break that barrier.
What about that? Was it the 2002 with the alien holding the binary disk code?
Yes.
That seemed like a real confirmation of an alien intelligence, that was a true circle.
You're choosing some good ones here. It's just that I hate to be the bad guy who does. I did spend a lot of time on that, and my information is that it was made, I actually do have names that go with it. It was an extraordinary operation. I was advising at the time the Disney movie, the Mel Gibson movie Signs, and I was advising them and giving them information, supplying them with data that they used in the movie, and supplied backdrop material for the launch of the movie. And during that time, I was told by their PR people that they were, Disney themselves, were in touch, in contact, contractual contact, with people that were going to make some rather astounding designs in the fields. And that was really what gave me the first hint that something pretty dismal was about to happen. And I think I'll leave the rest, you know, at that. But I did get information that from people that overflew that area, that design was made in a number of phases.
Right. But anyway, let's go back to the evolutionary course of this phenomenon, the interaction with consciousness, and where you see the whole thing evolving to. So yes, the 2008 season I thought was an amazing season with the Pi formation, the 2012 planetary formation in July, and then the 8, and then this 7-level cross thing at the end of the season. Where do you feel we're going? Where are they directing us, if you can anticipate?
Certainly can. I do hold a fairly strong view on this until I'm kind of nudged out of position by something different. This is where it's led me. I've just finished, it's actually now published, the 2012, The Complete Idiot's Guide to 2012.
Oh, that's
my wife
great.
And I co-authored that.
That's a great book.
Well, thank you. But learning a lot in the process of research for that book and seeing where we had already reached in the family that had evolved in the crop circle phenomenon, it really took us back to the solar system design that appeared in the mid-90s I'm not sure whether you're conversant with it, Alan, or whether you remember it. This was a replica of the solar system in absolute precision. The ratios were correct. The placements were correct. And it had
that was the asteroid belt. They had the
yes,
asteroid
they had the, that is right. It had the asteroid belt in position, right. And it was all scaled to the SU value of six units of for the sun, which gave us we had the mathematics run and the orbits run down in Washington through Professor Hawkins, Gerald Hawkins, at the time, and the astrophysicists up here at Yale. And what we came up with was it actually was giving us a date when the Earth, as shown in the crop design, was missing, which was interpreted to mean there's a problem, and here's the date, this is a problem, and you are the people concerned. And so we looked at that, and it gave us information which ties in very specifically with the Mayan prophecy, which I have looked at through NASA people and a lot of other people too. There is much, much more in the Mayan prophecy than any prophecy I've ever seen before. And, you know, when you look at what they were able to ascertain, that's the astronomers of their day, and look in the sky at 11:11 on the 21st of December, 2012, there is nobody on this planet that could say that these people didn't know something. Have a look in the book. I think it's page 90 in the 2012 Idiot's Guide book, and you'll see
tell us. Yeah.
Well, you'll see an arc of six planets. You'll see the sun and the moon, and the alignment is absolutely staggering. These people knew something, and when you look at the trend lines of those important families that support our life on this planet, whether it's population, climate change, the money system, the disease spread, there are many of them, and of course there are many books out on this now, but the lines that cross over on 2012 in a very convincing fashion. We've an astronomer from the FBI that's working as we speak. We're about to put this on the website in the next few days. An astrologer who was I'm not sure whether I'm able to say that. Actually, he is the person in the FBI who warned of Ronald Reagan's assassination attempt on that day. And in fact, he was questioned himself as an agent of the FBI because of the information he had passed through the agency for that day. This is a very good. This guy really knows his stuff. And he's working on 2012 now at my request to see whether it fits into everything else we've got. And it really does. And it's so powerful that he's writing it up in a way that is we're hoping to convey that we're really this is transitional and not the end of the world. I mean, we have difficulties. We all know we do have substantial problems lying ahead of us, but we are setting the ground for a new beginning. And regrettably, we could only come to a sticky end because of the greed and the, you know, the lies and manipulation of the systems that we've allowed to run us. And so I'm afraid this is kind of payback time. But it seems that it's outside of the planet too. You know, this
right.
Cycle 24.
Right. We're lining up with the galactic equator, according
that's
to
right.
the Mayans. And then what is the impact, I mean, astrologically or any or vibrationally, however you want to see it, on consciousness in this alignment? How will people start to think differently? I mean, of course, all the corruption and all that, we're fed up with that. But how will this direct alignment really affect the way people think?
I think the simplest way to put it, as I see it, and as it is explained to me, is that by the time we get there, we are really moving in here fast right now with all that we're going through and more to come. We are having mirrors faced in front of individuals, in front of countries, in front of religions, and we are having the truth squeezed out of us. And that, and I think by the time we get to this place where we're basically on the ground and rebuilding, we will know what truth is. And once we have reached that place of respect, a deep respect for one another and for the living creatures that we are here with a responsibility for, then we will also know, each and every one of us, what love itself really means. And I think that's where we're going to be. I think this is really where it's coming. We've been playing at life, and we've been playing with life. And it was never going to be a good ending the way we've allowed this whole thing to evolve.
So it is coming apart. It's obvious that things are definitely falling apart. It seems to me like the crop circles, because of the complexity of their design, is implanting a subconscious change by these patterns to our right brain. So possibly we could make new decisions, see new patterns of information, see new ways of looking at the world that are cues from these communications. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So where do you think this coming season will take us? Will you be in Wiltshire this season?
Yes, I will. I'm going back, and I'll be there for several weeks this time round. I've been asked to do some presentations in England too, along the lines of what's happening in New York this weekend with Edgar Mitchell. We are in some very important times. And it's time for us to drop the hatchets, to look at things more broadly and with more respect. Yet there are some things to say, and this is the time.
I mean, I'm also interested in not so much the history of it, but it's like when you started to get into this, you know, in their first simple circles, and then they started to grow in complexity. How did you take that? How were you, like, thrown by the complexity and the intelligence? Can you talk about your own transformation?
That's a great question, and it's one that, you know, whilst you've been at anything for a long time, you start to take things for granted a little bit. I know for many years people would ask me that, and there was only one way I could answer it. It was absolutely awe-inspiring. Even from the very moment that I walked into the first crop circle I had ever seen, not many people had then, it was 1983, and I walked into a set of five circles forming a cross, and there was nothing in the field, there were no tracks in the field, and as I broke in about 20 minutes of walking to actually reach it, I could see it from a hillside where I was driving near Stonehenge, and as I walked through the plants and I broke suddenly into this first of large circle, and with these five satellite circles forming a cross around it, I could hear the plants beginning to, you could hear them creaking, like crackling, where they were beginning to lift up off the ground. It's as if it had just arrived and it was moving. And I stood there with the birds and everything in the background, and the hairs were rising on my arms. It was just an absolutely extraordinary experience, you know, thinking and wondering, how did this get here? And it never changed. As the years went by, the more complexity and then the bizarre things that would happen. I was actually talking to Busty Taylor. You might know he's in all of the crop circle literature. He's a friend of mine, of course. We were together in those early days. I was talking to him about an hour ago on the telephone here from England, and we were talking about that day in, in 94, I believe, where we were flying over an area where Stonehenge, and he said to me in that aircraft, wouldn't it be something, Colin, if we saw all the formations, all the circles we've ever seen, kind of all overlaid into one complex design? It was the exact next morning he was flying a Spanish researcher, Omar Fowler, over the, not just anywhere, but over the field where he had set it in the aircraft. The Spanish researcher looked down from the aircraft. We have this in circular evidence. And there was precisely what Busty had said, everything we had ever seen overlaid into one design. And so
Wow.
right, That was right back in those early days. Something new, something was interacting with us at that time, and it's happened time and time again.
Have you ever seen the white ball? Some people have reported, and I think I've even seen a video. I don't know, maybe those videos aren't real, but supposedly there were white balls that pushed the crops down. And there is a thing of white balls in some of the UFO abduction literature.
That's very real, very real. We have here, over the years, I've a number of videos. I was with a team of 7 or 8 people, mainly U.S. researchers, one NASA guy. We actually had that analyzed by the British Army with helicopters in the field at the time, with one of these orbs was moving at the back of the researchers. It moved from one design across the back of the field. An Army helicopter saw it and went straight into it. And as the Army helicopter reached it, you might have seen this on television, it has been shown, it came from this office here, and as the helicopter reached it, it just blinked out and then reappeared behind the helicopter. So, yes, these spheres, these orbs, are definitely in the equation. I mean, I don't think that I have not seen evidence yet that they make designs. I know there is a footage, which I spent a lot of time with and I think, satisfied that it was a fraud on that occasion. Unfortunately, Alan, this is humanity. You know, we seem to shoot ourselves in the foot constantly. We have this extraordinary phenomenon going on, and yet you have planted in society those with different agendas that are trying to manipulate, are trying to confuse and defuse. We have to keep our nose ahead of us here, because this now is the crucial moment. I think now that we've got enough information to use the best minds, to use the best psychics, the people that we know where we are measuring brainwave activity that can see more than the average person. So I think we're ready to step this up now and to become much more interactive with the fields in Great Britain where most of them are appearing.
So is that going to be part of your intention now that you've consciously, in this 2009 season, to really make some conscious dialogue with these circle makers?
Absolutely. That you know, we have the evidence that it's happened. So now I think is the time to set the drawing board. Try if we can to do this with scientific protocol, so that we bring more people with us when it happens, if it happens, if it's allowed to happen. There are many, our first and second surveillance operations in the late 1989 and the year 1990, Operation Blackbird and White Crow. We strongly felt there, as I know some U.S. scientists have also concluded in a separate operation in this country, that the more equipment you've got lined up, the more your intentions are to, shall we use the term, catch something, the less likely it's going to be to happen. There seems to be some kind of universal law at work here where you don't set the rules. But we really do feel that we basically have to take this a step further if we are to become a part of this interactive force.
Mm-hmm. And so you do think it's sort of culminating in 2012. Would that be your guess?
Yeah, absolutely. Alan, when we're in visuals, I think you'll be impressed with what happens this weekend in New York, because I'm going to be able to show, obviously, in pictorial form, much more than I'm able to describe on the radio.
Oh, of course. And this has been very exciting, just talking to you about what's coming in your ideas and really seeing how much time and mental energy you put into this. And someone, you know, with your intelligence and background, to give it such value, I think more people should look at this, because this should be front page news, if you ask me. Every time a circle, that seems to be real, because I think it's affecting the consciousness of the planet.
Well, it is. I mean, I think everything affects everything else. Right. You know, we're looking at a multiplexed input into a kaleidoscope, and it takes one small piece to affect the whole. You know, you know what happens when you look light through the kaleidoscope, but here you've got a multiplex of inputs. This is why I feel also, and this is what we have to convey and constantly convey to our governments, and this I have to be careful with, I think we all do. We are not only in exciting times, but we're living also in potentially dangerous times. It is important that the government, no government, manipulates, adjust the timeline on consciousness. You know, if you are lied to, I won't go out on a limb with the last 8 years of our experience, but it is, I think, becoming abundantly clear that many lies have been told, much deception for all kinds of different agendas, and that is no good to humanity, because all it does, in my opinion, is it pulls back the timeline on consciousness and where we have to go. We are a species that's going somewhere, and we cannot allow that kind of dictatorial power to adjust the timeline. You know, we all own this consciousness, but unfortunately, we are collectively part of everybody's input. And so if we allow this to happen on a mighty scale, then we may not make the goal. You know, we are going somewhere.
Of course we are, and I know what you're saying, but also, just as philosophically, if these powers are stopping us and we all are one consciousness, it must be within the consciousness that we are also creating that's not allowing us to go forward. So we need some internal adjustment as well as this external.
Yes, we do. That's an excellent point.
Right, because we can't look. I mean, of course there are forces that don't want their cover to be blown and they want to stay in power and manipulation, but somehow we're linked to that, and we all need to do some more work in
That's a very good point.
And how would you suggest we do that as we wrap up here?
Well, I think to wrap it up, it's back to the mirrors, you know, the mirrors that are being forced in front of us at a domestic level, at a personal level, whilst we're in bed at night, or whether we're with our colleagues, our friends, and our family, whether we're at church, or whether we're looking at voting at the booth. The time has come. We really have got to resolve our problems. We've got to respect others, respect our planet, respect all living things, and find the love inside. I mean, that is the personal, that's the personal choice. You know, the hatred and the bigotry and the chip on the shoulders, we haven't any more time for it. It's actually, when you look at the galactic business, it's childish. You know, we should have passed this point, and I'll be gravely disappointed if we are unable to seize this opportunity as things get a little more difficult in the coming weeks and months.
No, I think we are seizing this opportunity, and I think everything that we're doing, I think because of things like the computer and the internet, we're all becoming much more interactive in who we are in terms of our conscious field.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing. I think that's why Obama was elected, because there's an interactive public that feels it's gaining power.
It's been very encouraging, hasn't it? It's been very encouraging.
Well, thank you, Colin. I really look forward to the presentation. This really whetted my
thanks a lot, Alan.
And I'll just
thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate it. Maybe at some point we'll do a television interview as well, because then we can show some of the visuals you're talking about.
That would be excellent. I look forward to seeing you the weekend.
Yes, I want to say that. Your website is colinandrews.net. And
that is correct.
A lot of articles, a lot of information, your history, some of these things that you mentioned there, and that also Colin will be speaking this coming weekend at 230 West 29th Street in Manhattan. That's April 11th at 2:30, $20 at the door. That's through FIONS, FIONS.org, or just show up there at 230 West 29th Street. And also the following weekend at the Exopolitics Conference, that is you look under the Paradigm Research Institute, Stephen Bassett's organization. And my name is Alan Steinfeld, and this is New Realities. Please tune into this archived on my website, which will be newrealities.com, and email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Any final words from you, Colin?
No, that's about it, Alan. I'll look forward to stepping this whole thing up and talking with you again soon.
Okay. Thanks so much for being a guest on the show, and I'll see you in a couple of days.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay. Good
night. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, hoping all your realities are new and exciting. And please email me about what you thought of this program and other programs in the archives. That is newrealities@earthlink.net. Thank you for listening. Good night.